This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
All right, hello and welcome into what is, I guess, the holiday edition of 5-on-3, WFUV Sports' best, if not only, hockey podcast. And I say hockey, not NHL, because we're going to be talking about a couple different leagues today. I'm James Burley. I'm joined by Grace McCarron and Lydia Perner. We have representatives from all three teams in the tri-state area, but it has become very apparent now, at least to us, that the best hockey team in New York plays at the Prudential Center, but it may not even be the New Jersey Devils. It could be the New York Sirens. So let's just go around the horn real quick. We're finishing up with finals here at Fordham. Let's start with Grace. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just finished my last final like an hour and a half ago, so I'm feeling pretty good about being done and definitely ready to talk some puck, even though my team is pretty bad right now, but hopefully they can turn it around, maybe.
And maybe some similar sentiments over there for you, Lydia. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much exact same. Glad finals is over. Rangers are pretty bad, but I've gotten to the phase of stopping caring about it on an emotional level and just accept it for what it is. So that's made my life slightly better these days. But yeah, can't complain about finals being over. Can't complain about the New York Rangers.
Well, we got a big game on Monday to talk about. It involves two teams that are in this part of the hockey world. But before we get into that, we had the home opener of the New York Sirens, previously known as PWHL New York, on Wednesday at the Prudential Center. And I mean, this perhaps the best part of this entire thing was former WFUV Sports legend Samantha Boer was the stadium presenter for that. Absolutely awesome to see Sam strut her stuff at the crowd at the Prudential Center. And even better to see the Sirens go on and get the win as she was doing it at The Rock in New Jersey. Sarah Filliere with 7 points on the season in just 4 games. Alex Carpenter with 6. Four of the top 6 players in points are on this New York Sirens team, taking the PWHL by storm. A great atmosphere the other day. And I have to add, not to look at things always from a business perspective, but the fact that these games are being presented on MSG, MSG Sports Network, FanDuel Sports Network, and all across Canada and TSN, massive for women's hockey. This is the best league experience we've had for women's hockey to date, and certainly the best experience we've had in the New York, New Jersey area. So, Lydia, I'll throw it over to you first on this one. What did you see from that home opener, apart from seeing Sam strut her stuff, our former WFUV Sports legend, and just the overall state of women's hockey at the moment?
I think I'll start, like, just starting with the state of women's hockey. I think it's really cool to see the league succeed, because I know, obviously, being from Massachusetts, the last league, I believe, was the team we had was the Boston Pride. And it was actually, I knew the head equipment manager of that team, and the way that, like, because you mentioned the business side of it, the way he described the business side of it, and basically, like, the fact that he has to, like, ship their equipment, like, out of pocket and all this stuff. There was no money and no investment in that league. So, you know, when the PWHL came around, I wasn't hopeful for the future of women's hockey and that they would have success. And what they've seen so quickly, like buildings being filled, NHL arenas being filled, you know, with at least 10,000 people, it really is cool. And it gives, you know, young girls like an opportunity. Like, I know when I was younger, like, I chose soccer really very early on because there was no future in women's hockey. But now, you know, maybe seeing this league, that there is, like, girls, young girls can, like, see that there is a future in the sport and maybe pursue it harder. But yeah, and then as for the Sirens, can't complain. Like you said, only good New York sports team. I don't know if you can call them a true New York sports team because they play at the Prudential Center. But
ooh,
yeah.
Shots fired.
And, you know, the typical Canadian-American chemistry duo between, how do you say your name? Filliere? Filliere. And
is how I might be getting that wrong now. Now that you say that,
no, it sounds cool. So let's go with that. But it's cool to see that you know, they stormed out of the gate and they're leading the division.
And yes. Any thoughts, Grace?
Yeah, especially for a team that was, I believe, at the bottom of the league last year in the inaugural season. Like, it's really nice to see with the number one overall pick and Sarah Filliere. She's flourishing. She's building a lot of chemistry with her team as a rookie. It's really nice to see that. It turns when I mean, I'm going to leave the Devils out of this because the Devils are very good, but it kind of makes New York hockey a little more interesting when the Rangers and Islanders are both like floundering at the moment. It gives us something to watch, and I think that's really awesome that it's a women's team because you don't see, like you're saying earlier, James, you don't see a lot of women's sports on like MSG and their networks that often. So it's awesome that they have started out really strong, coming off of a disappointing first season, and hopefully they can continue on this.
Yeah, 3 wins and 4 tries to start the season for the Sirens, only behind the Minnesota Frost in the early standings of the season. So we're going to keep our eye on the PWHL as things get closer and closer to playoff time. The Boston Fleet just behind them, Lydia, to your point, being from Massachusetts, not quite as good as the Boston Pride were winning 3 back-to-back Isabel Cups back in the PHF days where we had our representatives. From the New York area, the Metropolitan Riveters, now the PWHL. I think it's a much needed improvement on the state of women's hockey, and I can't wait to see what lies ahead. But we've got to jump into a little bit of NHL discussion now. I mean, some big stories around the league. I think we'd be burying the lead, Lydia, if we didn't start with the Rangers. I mean, not to pile on the Buffalo Sabres anymore. They've lost 11 in a row. I think that's one of the biggest stories in the league right now. But what's going on in New York has been, subject to speculation across the National Hockey League. Fans all over have been weighing in on the situation with Jakob Trouba, now with Kaapo Kakko, and even going as far back as Barkley Goodrow in the offseason. There's been some discussions of a culture at MSG in the wake of this Kaapo Kakko trade. Lydia, I want to hear your thoughts on it. I'm sure you have a lot to say, and just when if you want to just jump right in, feel free.
I would say just starting with the actual, play on the ice, because there's been so many storylines lately with, like you said, the culture and the locker room. Are they mentally tough enough? And obviously all that stuff bleeding onto the ice. But just with like who the Rangers are, they're not a bad team. They aren't. But I was watching clips from last year's just regular season, and the one thing I've noticed, it is the effort. Like they have completely quit their product on the ice. And because like you watched some of these things last year, like it's the little things like sacrificing the body, making like a poor like the right play that maybe isn't all like so fancy, being just buying in as a team. They just haven't done that this season, and it does make you start to think, like, has this core of Zibanejad and like m when I say core now, it really just means Zibanejad and Kreider, because to me, like, Panarin is in his own world because he's been hurt these past few games, but he's a good player. He's still making his fun comments despite this big losing streak. So I think really when you look at what do the Rangers have left, and it stems from Mika and Kreider at this point, because Trouba's gone, and the whole Kaapo Kakko thing's a whole nother situation. But I liked what Trocheck said the other day. He was like, I've been in the league for 12 years, and it stinks when you see a friend go, like Kakko, like Trouba. But at the end of the day, like, the Rangers aren't winning hockey games. They have a job to do on the ice, but Chris Drury also has a job to do in the, like, if he, at the end of the day, he's responsible for putting a good product on the ice. So if these moves have to be made, you just have to move on from it. And I know some players don't have that mindset, and that's right now, that is the biggest issue with the Rangers, I think.
Follow-up question for you. Do you think things turn around now? Do you think now that Chris Drury may not be doing his job well, at least he's doing his job, right? He's out there, he's making moves, trying to shake up the attitude of the team. Do you think that this is an improvement, or do you think they have to go and do something else?
I think the Kakko trade makes no sense to me. It
I
really
agree.
doesn't. I think the thought process there is, yes, the Rangers are really thin on picks. Yes, you bring back a defensive defenseman, a player that the Rangers really haven't had in years. I know he's played bad this season, but last year he was a pretty solid player. But I thought, going into this, when the Rangers first started playing poor, and a re I don't want to call this like a blow up situation or a rebuild. I think it was a needed like retool, like bringing new faces in. I really thought that the players and lines you could build around was, that, sorry, my Siri is on. Trocheck, Panarin, and Lafreniere on one line and then the Cooley, Hedo, Kako line. I thought that was like a great starting point. But now you ship Kako off, which I'm very happy for him. He gets out of New York, he gets his fresh start. He got scratched last week. There was a whole storyline about that. Now I'm starting to think it was kind of for trade related reasons to make sure he doesn't get hurt, but that was a whole situation. So, yeah, I don't know if the product's going to get better, but I think they've made these moves that they can put behind. They had a fun practice yesterday. I don't know if you saw Laviolette scored in Shesterkin. That was the happiest I've seen the team and, the most camaraderie I've seen it in weeks. But I'm hoping, again, like going back to the fact that this is still a good team. This is a team that I think could beat, the Devils come, what is it, Monday? I think could beat
Yeah,
the Stars
why not?
tonight. It's just a matter of like putting it together and having a good product in the ice, which we haven't seen in weeks.
So, Grace, I'll ask you this. Looking from the perspective of Long Island on the Rangers right now, has that made you feel any bit better about the Islanders season or what any assessment differently of the Rangers that you had towards Lydia's?
Well, I'm also Lydia and I are like friends enough that I hear a lot of Ranger opinions and they're all like
Friends enough?
pretty
That's
friends,
it?
very we're very good
Just
friends.
enough. Just not too much. Not too much.
But like I hear the Ranger opinions and it's right now it's just so bad that there's not really any positives to draw from this. Like as you were saying earlier, the Kaapo-Kakko trade, like the timing to me was interesting because he had just been a healthy scratch and then right a few I think like 24 hours after that the trade came out or something. The timing was very interesting, and now that you say that it could have been prepping to trade him, that does make sense. But just like morale seems to be down. Jacob Trouba, his comments about it's a rite of passage to be fired from MSG, like that's kind of coming back up with the Vince Pagliano article yesterday. Just like it's not good right now, and with the expectations for this team, like they won the President's Trophy last year, they were in the conference finals, like it's very, to me it's different from the Islanders just because it's I almost feel like it's harder to explain. Like the Islanders, there are reasons and they're also just less talented, but there are reasons for the Islanders, and I think the Rangers is harder to explain because you would think that this team is talented enough to turn it around. And it's just been bad for a few weeks now.
Yeah, well, if I can offer a silver lining to Rangers fans, and I often don't, I think it would be that this is still early in the season. You guys are 31 games into this thing, and there is more than enough time to make up the ground of what is it, 10 points to get into a playoff position. It's really not end all be all understanding that this team is good enough to challenge for President's trophies, challenge for a Stanley Cup. I think it's a little bit disheartening knowing the season that Shesterkin's had. It's not really, he's been giving up more goals in some games than others. Not a lot of it has been his fault, if any of it. So I think you can look at the talent on this team, acknowledge it for what it is. I'm still of the position that they'll figure something out. I'm not going to say they'll figure it out and they're going to go make a fantastic run into the playoffs. I think they'll squeak into the playoffs and make a little bit of noise. But for now, I think it's about finding that stability, consistency again, and kind of blocking out the noise from the outside. If you're still in that locker room, that would be my advice. But Lydia, I completely agree. For as good as the Devils have been lately, atop the Metropolitan Division, given that they have those games, extra games played, a game on Monday, a 1 p.m. start time against the Rangers, I don't know how that's going to go. That could go either way. The Rangers are good enough to flip the tide. They do have a back-to-back on that same day after playing Carolina the day before, so I think they'll be at a bit of a disadvantage, but a game at the Rock, I mean, you can expect there to be almost as many Rangers fans as Devils fans. I'm not sure if that'll change because of the attitudes of the teams, but I mean, that game could go either way. And I think that's a big type of performance. You go into Newark, you get a win for the Rangers. That could be a galvanizing sort of win that brings you into the Christmas break. You enjoy time with your families, and then you come back with a little bit of wind in your sail. Who knows? Maybe they jump back into a playoff spot. But we got to stay on the negative side before we jump to the Devils. Let's talk Islanders. Took a bad 4-0 loss on Tuesday to a tough Hurricanes team. They're going to be back at it again on the road in Toronto before going back to UBS Arena to host the Sabres before the holiday. So, Grace, it's been a couple of tough games. They had that home and home with Chicago that they took one game they won, the other game they lost, and then went home to went off to Raleigh and really got but got spanked around. So your overall assessment of the Islanders currently?
Well, as I said earlier, like there are kind of some explanations for why they've looked like this. A lot of it has been injuries, and they've started to see some of these players come back. Barzal's back, Adam Pellick is back, Duclair is skating, and he should be playing tomorrow in Toronto. So that was kind of, they were kind of trying to tread water for a little while these guys came back, and there still are guys who are not playing. Mike Riley just started skating again after his heart surgery. And Semyon Varlamov is on long-term IR, so see when he comes back. But it's kind of, when you watch this team, it does get harder and harder to believe that they can turn it around. They've been, the whole story this year has been the third period leads, how they can't win in overtime, etc. We could go on and on about that, but special teams overall to me has been the biggest problem, just because they can't get anything going on the power play. They're towards the bottom of the league in the penalty kill. Like, it's, these are not things that you can be okay with if you're trying to make the playoffs like they did last season. And now they're at their worst mark in 33 games since the 2013 to 14 season. They're 12-14-7, and it's bleak.
I think it's to compare it back to the, early 2010s, mid 2010s years of the Islanders. It's a reminder of a dark time because they really did turn a corner there, in the early Barzal era, late in the 2010s. They were a playoff team, their Eastern Conference final team, not too long ago. So to see that it's gone this way, I think a lot of the times for the past few years with the Islanders, Lydia, I don't know if you would agree with this. It feels like that they were punching above their weight, where they were a team of culture and style. They played the right way for a long enough time. And while they weren't as talented individually as some teams in front of them, they would outplay them and they would win games. And I think that that formula right now under Patrick Waugh has kind of hit a bit of a wall. I'm not saying that they're going to finish the Metropolitan Division on the bottom, but I do think that it's kind of coming back to hurt them with they start the year with injuries. The depth there is just the top end quality just isn't there to support that depth. Lydia, do you have the same impression of this Islanders team? Do you think that they could maybe see something that the Rangers could see something a bit of a turnaround where they start getting back to their level?
I feel like the Islanders do it every year where they're just bad to start the season and then they make that crazy run at the end of the year. But definitely going to this season, I was like, the Islanders like were one injury away from being like the San Jose Sharks. And that's what we've seen. Like, it's a matter, like, they pieced together the top two lines in the offseason, hoping that, Duclair, Barzal, like they would have that great chemistry. And they did. We saw it in the preseason. That line was really good. And then that second line, you're hoping that, like, Siplikov makes that jump. They were basically relying on those two lines to play in over their heads. And then, Duclair gets hurt, Barzal gets hurt, and like that, the pieces keep falling. And then you have, Simon Holmstrom, Pierre Engvall playing top 6 minutes. And so this has been a theme for the Islanders for as long as I've been a hockey fan. They are never willing to, make like that next step with their roster construction. You could argue maybe Bo Horvat was that guy, but hasn't been good this season either. But yeah, I don't think there's any depth there. I don't think they have any depth in Bridgeport, and I think they're in an awkward situation where you can be mediocre, you can sneak into the playoffs, and maybe if you face the Hurricanes, you're probably like, they face the Hurricanes the past 2 years, they're probably
Every
gonna
year.
pass. Yeah, so it's, you have to look within and be like, is it worth it to keep running back a team that, yes, makes the playoffs, but you're not getting anywhere with it? To me, it doesn't matter if you make the playoffs if you don't win the cup. That's where I'm kind of at with the Rangers, and that's why I feel like Lou Lamoriello needs to do with his team.
Well, you mentioned Lou Lamoriello and you mentioned the Bo Horvat move a couple seasons ago, and while that was a big splash, and it certainly was, it's a bigger splash than you're used to seeing Lou make. And I think that's kind of his strategy for the free agency, for signing players, for making big trades. Because at the same time, while this Islanders team might be an injury away from being the Sharks, they're maybe one, two, three players away from being in a really good conversation with some of the best teams in this conference. So as much as I love Lou Lamoriello for what he did for my hockey club back in the day, I do think his methods are maybe a little bit outdated. I actually, fun story, I wrote a little letter to Lou Lamoriello when I was like 8 or 9 years old about what the Devils' lines should be the next year. and he wrote me a personal letter back. So he's a great dude, and I love what he's done for hockey in New Jersey especially. But I think maybe it might be time to move on for the New York Islanders. And one last thing I'll touch on the island. And Grace, you can agree with me. I don't know. It's something of a take. I think the injury to Varlamov is actually huge. I know Sorokin is the starter and has been, but they've done a 1A, 1B type tandem where Varlamov is almost just as reliable in so many different scenarios. Sorokin's numbers have taken a bit of a hit this year, not significant, but they've taken a bit of a hit. He's not had to play this many games in this short amount of time in his career. He's going to have to do that with Varlamov out long term. Do you see that as maybe an issue that, if Sorokin doesn't have this breathing space of having a good backup behind him who could come in and play meaningful minutes throughout the season, that his development, or not so much his development, his ability is going to be hampered long term out of fatigue? I don't think we're seeing the signs of it yet. His numbers are down, but not by a lot. But I think over the course of the season, that could be another thing that hampers the Islanders from getting back into that playoff discussion.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You can kind of, as you said, already see it happening. He has made 9 straight starts, and it's kind of, especially with their defensive struggles, they're just kind of leaving him out to dry. Like against Carolina, that was obvious, and Carolina is a very good hockey team. But there was obviously Sorokin had his back surgery over the summer as well, so they were kind of, especially to start the season, going 1-2 on him and Varley. They wouldn't have Sorokin starting like 3 games in a row. They would kind of hand them off there, and I think that really helped both of them. I do think that that is a problem. I don't like that people are placing like all the blame on Sorokin for their recent struggles. Like he has given up 4 goals, I think, in the past 3 starts, which is not great, obviously. But I don't think that you can entirely blame him for that. I think the defense really, really needs some work, and that is partially due to injury, but overall they need to be better. But yes, I think the Varley injury when he went on long-term IR, that was not, it is retroactive to December 3rd, so we're not quite sure when he's going to come back. But yeah, I don't, that certainly does not help them. And in fact, I think that could lead to even more rockiness for them.
Yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye out for. I mean, Sorokin, one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Of course, that you don't want to overwork a guy like that. And I think this will be a good test for him personally. He's been in that category of some of the best goaltenders in the league, and can he set himself apart now that he's not going to have the cushion of Varlamov playing behind him for we don't know how long, but it could be a while. I think that brings us to perhaps the shining jewel of this corner of the hockey world, if I say so myself, at least for the moment, at least for the moment, because none of this is guaranteed. It's still very early. But sitting on top of the Metropolitan Division are the New Jersey Devils. They've played a few extra games than the teams behind them, so there is a caveat there. They'll probably go down to second or maybe third once the Capitals and Hurricanes catch up. And how about the Washington Capitals, by the way? People thought that they would take a bit of a jump this year. They've been excellent. I think they're totally overperforming for how good they should be. But I think the whole Ovechkin storyline, as cool as it is kind of overshadowed just how much better they've been at playing actual hockey. So that's an aside on the Washington Capitals, who I generally don't enjoy assigning praise to, but I have to be honest, where give credit where credit's due. But the Devils last night, once again, gonna give credit where credit's due. Gonna do the opposite. They were awful. Coming out of the gate against the Blue Jackets, but something of a trap game in the middle of a road trip. You don't always expect to start games well, and that's kind of been the one area of the Devils' season where they really do need to improve is starting games, first periods. They've found themselves getting comeback win after comeback win, and out shooting teams 16-5 at the end of the first period, and they go into the breakdown 1-0. This time they're down 3-0 to the Blue Jackets. It was a good comeback effort for a minute there, but ultimately fell short and only goes down to the start. They'll play against the Penguins tomorrow. I think one thing that I will highlight for this Devils team that, in years past, we certainly weren't highlighting, and that's goaltending. I mean, Markstrom has come in and had a few shaky performances in the early goings this season, but since has gotten 6 wins out of his last 8 tries, has had below 2 goals against average in that span, above .940 save percentage in that span. He's been absolutely excellent. He's been the reliable goaltender that the Devils have always needed. they just needed a goaltender to give them a chance to win on any given night. And the Devils play good enough hockey in front of that to win most of their games. And that's kind of the position they're in right now. But like we said, Lydia, and I'll go to you first on New Jersey. They play Pittsburgh tomorrow night at home, and then they've got the Rangers on Monday before this holiday break, and then a home and home with the Hurricanes straight after Christmas. So this is a tough stretch of games, honestly. The Penguins, not the Penguins of yore, of course, and the Rangers in a bit of a tough spot, but I think this is a prime opportunity where they're going to be really tested to see what type of team they are with the mold of this franchise. And for as good as their stars have been, Hughes and Bratt and even Markstrom, I think this is a really, really tough test before the new year.
I think it could be a good, like, it's good and bad, because it's funny you mentioned that Columbus was a trap game, because I was thinking that exact thing. Like, going in, they're on the 3-game win streak, they haven't won 4 games in like a weirdly long amount of time, and I was like, going into Columbus, they're gonna lose that game, and that's exactly what happened. They maybe got goalied, but whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think it could be
If
a
you're
good
getting
thing.
goalied by Elvis Merzlikins, I think it's your own fault. Sorry, but continue.
I agree with you. It does happen, though. Even poor goalies every once in a while have an insane game. But yeah, I mean, you got Pittsburgh tomorrow. They're a team. You never know what to expect with the Penguins, because they still do have a bunch of phenomenal players. Crosby made that insane play, like, I don't know if it was last night, in front of the net. But I think the one issue with them this season, and correct me if I'm wrong, James, is just they're a really fast team. They're better in the neutral zone this year, I feel, than they were last year, and I think that was the issue with them. But they're still a little squeaky defensively, so I think there's things that you just need to tighten up. And I don't necessarily even mean like the sixth defenseman. I just mean like, passing off guys in the zone and all that stuff. That was kind of they played they ended up winning the game against the Kings, but when I went to that game, I was just noticing like it's a little it's disjointed in the defensive zone. But so just little things like that, if they figured out, then I do think that, if they use their pace and push the pace against a team like the Penguins, a team like the Rangers, then they're gonna have success. And I think it's been up and down. They have that good record, but it's just to start, putting consistently a good product on the ice, and that's gonna really put the Devils next level, because I don't even think they've hit the level that they can hit. I think I want to throw away last season, because I really don't think it was indicative of the team. This is a good Devils team, and I still think they have another level to them if, Meier gets going. He could be a little bit better. He's been good, but he could be a little bit better. And some of those guys. But I think it'll be a good stretch for the Devils. And maybe that's just me being a Rangers fan, being negative these days, but I think it'll be a good test, and I think they'll come out on the right ends of some of these games.
No, there's a lot of things you said there that I certainly do agree with. I definitely think that the speed that they play at, you get rush chances one way, you're going to give up rush chances the other way. I wouldn't necessarily blame the six defensemen for the Devils. I think honestly, with the exception of the Dougie Hamilton, Brendan Dillon pairing, which you're not always going to get great defense from in general when it's Dougie Hamilton on the ice. They've been excellent individually. I think Luke Hughes has taken massive, massive strides in terms of being a defensive defenseman this year. Playing next to Brett Pesce has only made him better. Jonathan Kovacevic is on the he's been the knight in shining armor for this blue line too. I wrote him off as the seventh D for this year, and he's been one of the best shutdown D-men in the National Hockey League. And him and Jonas Siegenthaler may be the best shutdown pairing in the league. So when those two are on the ice, and even when it's Pesce and Luke Hughes, they don't give up much. They do give up a lot when they push numbers forward very fast, like they often do, and they give up rush chances. The last game I was at was a week or so ago. They had the Maple Leafs. They outshot the Maple Leafs the entire time. Anthony Stolarz has been really good this year, was good in goal that game. They should have won that game by the end of the second period. Instead, they go to OT, and Austin Matthews might have missed about four regulation breakaways. He gets one in OT and buries it. If you give up enough high danger chances like that, you're going to give up goals the other way. For the Devils, they're a score by volume team, and they've been getting that type of production from Bratt, Hischier, and Hughes, and even Stefan Nason has got 14 goals this year. But once, like you said, once Timo Meier starts scoring at more of a clip that he's expected to, once Dawson Mercer maybe starts to find his legs again, Andre Palat's been better, but he's been dead weight for most of his time as a Devil. Dougie Hamilton started slow, has been picking it up. I do agree that there's another level to hit. I don't want to harp on your Rangers negativity at the moment, but I agree that this Devils team is still one step away from being the team that they can, being the team they were 2 years ago. I'd like to think of 23, 24 as something of a blip with injuries and awful goaltending. They certainly look like a different beast, but I agree. There's another level to get there, and I think that if they can show it during this stretch of games that they've got, I would feel a lot more confident about the team moving forward. Grace, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like when you watch the Devils in comparison to the Rangers or Islanders, it's just almost a different form of hockey because of the way that they play. But you guys were saying it, the game to Columbus yesterday, one of those games that like they are going to lose games like that eventually. Like Columbus is just not very good. You can't win every single game. So when Merzlikins stops a season high 40 shots, like it happens, and that certainly doesn't serve as a concern for me at all. I do think that they're going to beat the Penguins. Obviously, again, not the Penguins of yesteryear, and I think they're going to beat the Rangers. I mean, that could also be a trap game because maybe the Rangers do turn it on eventually. I feel like they have to at some point, but I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens in the Rangers and Devils game just to see what goes on. Like the Rangers have to do something eventually. They have to, if they are going to turn it around, they do have to have like that. To me, they have to have that one game that turns it around, sets a new tone, and this could be a really good one because the Devils are an amazing hockey team, as much as it pains me to say that.
I think you said it beautifully. Just imagine the vibes in each of those locker rooms. This is the last day before Christmas. You spend a few days off with your families. I mean, for the Rangers, it's let's go, let's get back in the saddle, let's go to our one of our biggest rivals' is buildings. Let's go, let's get 2 points. And for the Devils, it's let's continue this hot streak. Let's go into the break. Let's enjoy being better. Let's enjoy winning. Those are both very motivating rallying cries, galvanizing things that could get your team going. So that's going to be a big emotional game on the 23rd. Devils will host the Penguins tomorrow night. The Islanders are going to Toronto tomorrow night before they host the Sabres on Monday the 23rd. I believe the Rangers are in Dallas tonight before they host the Hurricanes on Sunday the 22nd before they're back-to-back against the Rangers, excuse me, against the Devils on the 23rd. So before we wrap up, let's all put on our little Santa hats and let's think in a bit of a jolly mood, if you will so much as humor me. Let's each think of one little holiday Christmas wish for each of the teams in the tri-state area. Lydia, have you given this any thoughts specifically? Because we can start with the Rangers, because I don't know, but they might need a little bit of holiday cheer right now.
I think the biggest thing you could say for the Rangers is they just need to start having fun on the ice again. And then with that, we'll come up maybe picking up a win every now and then. I think just start enjoying the game again because it doesn't seem like they're having fun out there. The rest will come. I think that's the biggest thing.
And Grace, any thoughts on what they could be wishing for out on the island?
I kind of touched on it earlier, but I wish that all Islanders, not all of them, because they all haven't been like this, but section of Islanders fans that have been kind of hating on Ilya Sorokin, I wish they would give him a little bit of grace because it's not his fault, you guys. Like, it's just not. There's so many other reasons why they've been playing the way that they have, and it's not his fault. He is an elite goalie. And yes, his numbers have been down past few games, but you can't place all the blame on him if you actually watch them and you watch how they play. And you watch this defense and you see, like, almost kind of like you were saying, Lydia, with the Rangers, like, the effort is a little bit off with the defense, especially. I just wish that everybody would kind of lay off on Sorokin. Love him. I don't think he deserves what he's getting right now.
I would agree with that. You're not many fan bases in the NHL have a goalie like Ilya Sorokin. Appreciate him while he's there. For New Jersey, the one thing that I would wish for, if I could, it would be to add one more high octane top six level winger who can score goals. Because right now, Dawson Mercer, I think, still belongs in that middle six position. I think Andre Palat is that sort of third line type of player. Both of those guys have been getting top 6 minutes. I'm not saying that either of those guys don't deserve to get those extra minutes, but I do think if the Devils had one more big scorer in that range. They tried it with Tyler Toffoli last year, and the team was just so bad they had to sell him off to get trade resources back. So I think if they get a player of that sort of caliber back into this team, given the way that they're playing, given how healthy they've been, I would be really excited to see how they would start to separate themselves in the pack from the top teams in the Eastern Conference. I think that's the next level they need to reach, and I think that's the one roster area that I would go about improving it. So, I mean, that's all the time we have for 5 on 3 this week. Any final messages, Lydia and Grace, for the holiday season, for the end of finals, for the new year, anything?
Grace?
Grace first, yeah.
Let me see. I hope that, well, this is kind of like a secondary holiday wish, but like I hope, especially I'm gonna single out Noah Dobson. Please turn the ship around.
Yeah, and James, you didn't ask me what I was on my wish list for the Devils, but I hope they just start
Okay.
losing some games. They're
Sure.
really good this year, and it's paining me too much. So yeah, that's my holiday wish list. But other than that, happy holidays, everyone.
Yes. Happy holidays to everybody listening. Thank you for spending some time around your busy holiday season with us at 5 on 3 for Grace McCarron, for Lydia Perner, and who is editing this again? Is it Trey?
Yes.
And for Trey, who's editing this, I've been James Verley. Thank you so much. 5 on 3 is a production of WFMB Sports. We'll see you guys next time.